So, distinguished participants in the conference, it's a true pleasure for me to be addressing this audience here. And I have been given the rather daunting task to discuss financing of green growth, which is a subject I guess we could be dwelling on for not just hours but days if we would try to start to penetrate it throughly and thoroughly and go through all the various aspects. Well, obviously, I can't do that, so I will try to give you a very quick, so to say, overview snapshot of some of the fundamentals which, in my view, are related to the question of financing of green growth. The first question I think one should put to oneself is green growth different? Is it different from our old brown growth, if we may use that term? And you could argue that perhaps that seems to be the case, because clearly green growth is not taking off in the way that at least the enthusiasts would have been hoping for. There's been a lot of discussion on green growth for a long time already. And of course we are seeing some positive developments here and there, but the big picture hasn't really changed substantially. And I think from that you can deduct a conclusion that somehow green growth is different, because if it would be completely equal to old brown growth, then we should see also a level playing field. What are then those factors that would somehow distinguish or make green growth different and then in practice form an impediment for green growth to take off? I'm making the postulate that growth does by necessity require mobilization of resources, and one of those resources is the financial side, to mobilize capital for investment, because without investment it's hard to envisage that we could see something which really is a true growth. Of course we have the degrowth people who would say that's not at all what we need in this world. We should not grow at all, we should be contracting. But I don't believe that, and I suspect that the majority of the co-citizens, both here in Estonia and in other parts of our region, would not agree with that view. The way forward, the solution to the problems, is not to contract, it's to find ways of growing in a sustainable way, and that way reach solutions that can deal with the problems that the current growth patterns are causing. So which are those barriers? Because knowing the barriers really is the key then to find solutions to mobilize more capital for green growth. And this is one of the key points then in my address here. I try to summarize some points which not only myself, since obviously I haven't done all this research here, but it's based on a compilation of information from various sources. To find that there are some elements which apparently are fairly universal barriers. One problem is the fact that by introducing new solutions, and this particularly relates to the renewable energy field, we are seeing higher upfront costs to get projects started. This clearly is a barrier, because you then need more capital to get a green project started than you would get many traditional projects started. Another element which is linked to this is that still quite a few of the green growth solutions are requiring subsidies in order to be financially viable. Even if wind power has improved its financial performance and effectiveness substantially over the years, it's still a fact that you cannot have substantial investment in wind power without subsidies from the public sector or from the consumers by paying higher tariffs for that energy compared to other energy. Same goes for solar energy and for various other fields. And of course, the subsidy element is something which creates, it's in itself a barrier, because you need to mobilize those subsidies, but it's also something which creates uncertainty. There was a report released just the other day about the need for energy transformation in Europe, in a longer term perspective up to 2050. And one of the conclusions forcefully argued in that paper is that the existing players in the energy field will not have the capacity nor the resources to undertake the transformation needed. We're talking about so enormous amounts of funding needed. We're talking about a trillion or more euros. And this means that in order to truly see a change, we need to mobilize completely different, untested sources of capital. We need to be able to involve the full range of the capital market and various instruments. And this, again, means that we need to create the confidence, because capital will not flow unless there is confidence. Investors require that they have a playing field where they can feel sufficiently certain about the future in order to put their money at stake. And political subsidies are an uncertainty. We have seen recently that many governments have felt compelled to change the playing field, to change the rules, even retroactively. We saw Spain doing that for solar energy not so long ago. This is not the kind of signal that creates confidence in the marketplace, because if you say, I have an investment which requires subsidies, which are depending on public and political decisions, and I can't trust these political decisions to be there for the next 10, 15, 20 years, we are not going to see that capital being mobilized. So this is one of the really fundamental challenges which is there for all of those who want to work for a change. And particularly, of course, for the political community, because it has to create a sufficiently transparent, clear, and trustworthy playing field in order to mobilize the capital needed. We, of course, have other areas of barriers, environmental and social barriers. We do know nobody wants to have a wind power park next doors. The NIMBY phenomenon is very clearly one. It concerns most kinds of facilities and investments. Nobody wants a nuclear power plant. Nobody wants a large waste-to-energy power plant. I recall some years ago someone, I think rather cleverly, launched the banana principle for all these kinds of investments, being an acronym for build absolutely nothing at all near anybody. Unfortunately, it's not all that easy in our today's congested world to do that. Another fact is that particularly green energy solutions, but also other green technologies, are, and perhaps rightfully so, seen as rather intermittent so far. We are still in a phase where new solutions are invented. Something is a hype for 5 years, 10 years, then it's abandoned. We get something new. It means that, again, why would investors feel confident to put their money in particularly this one solution or this one technology, not knowing if it's really something which will be viable? Everybody knows that hydropower is viable because it's been there for 150 or more years. But to test completely new technologies is something where you have, again, an uncertainty involved. We also have the fact that many of the projects in the green technology field, in the green growth field, have a scale limitation to them, a scale restriction. We often talk about smaller projects, actually, which means that the relative cost becomes higher, meaning that the transaction cost can then be something which forms an impediment. And last but not least, when you talk about the business community and investment flows, we have also to recall that we have still not reached a point where bookkeeping would actually take into account all the cost elements related to any given activity. The so-called externalities are not being priced in, and this means that conventional brown technology solutions, which if we look upon them in a comprehensive perspective, could be considered far more expensive to mankind, are still, from an economic or bookkeeping perspective, more advantageous, because there is no cost element for the pollution caused. There is no cost element for the life cycle costs of any given product. And until we see that, I doubt that we will see business community really engaging strongly in this, in spite of all the efforts of triple triple bottom line thinking in the business life. But if we are realistic about this, I doubt that we will see rapid change. So what is needed is a significant policy and regulatory reform. Easy to say, hard to deliver on. And this again means we need to move from these strategies and plans to concrete projects. Therefore, we need priority setting. We need allocation of resources from the public and private sector. And we also need something which is from time to time forgotten, that we need a clear project ownership for any given investment to really take off. One needs to know exactly who is the responsible project owner, who is actually in charge of this, who is carrying the risk, who is taking care of mitigating that risk. And when we then, from these basis points, from this starting point, try to consider what is then needed to get that money which is needed for green growth, in my view, it's very clear that there is no panacea. There is no single patent medicine which could be introduced saying, if we only do this, we will get all the money needed to change the patterns into green growth. What has to be done is to mobilize the full range of financial resources from all those existing different players in the field. And for that purpose, it's useful to recall something which could be called the financing chain, meaning that any kind of investment project in this world typically passes through a chain of different segments in its life cycle. Where if we start with a completely new solution, a green growth, a green technology solution, in the early stage what you do need is some sort of financing to carry out the necessary research and development activities. That's typically a public task in most of our societies. But the really big bottleneck, or the small bottleneck we're having, is actually moving from that research stage into something which is a viable business proposition. And this is something where we in Europe are clearly behind our colleagues in, for example, the United States, where the tradition to go in with risk capital and the magnitude of risk capital is completely different from what we have been able to mobilize so far in Europe and in the EU. A lot has been discussed about this and is continuously being discussed, but we haven't found a solution yet which would, so to say, radically change this. And this is clearly one of those limiting factors that we have lots of good ideas around. It's also a fact that of all good ideas, only very few actually lead up to really long-term, effective, and profitable solutions. So it's, if it's 1 out of 10, if it's 1 out of 50, or 1 out of 100, it still means there's a lot of projects which will fall by during the way. And for that, you need someone who's willing to carry that risk. So this is one of those challenges where somehow the countries, the financial communities need to address this problem. I would also like to highlight the fact that when we come to the point that we then actually start to have larger investments, we will typically need bank loans, because normally companies, people would not have that much savings or that much annual profits that they can actually pay everything with their own money. That's the best of worlds if you can, but typically you can't. And what you need is then to borrow money, which in effect means that you are just distributing money and capital cost over the timeline. You borrow money now, you repay it later, hopefully with the profits you gain from a successful project. And this again means that one needs to look at the requirements for loan financing. For banks and other lenders, what they need is essentially two things. They need willing borrowers and they need able borrowers, because you cannot lend money to someone who doesn't want that money. We at the Nordic Investment Bank set aside 500 million euros some years ago in 2008 to support the Baltic Sea Action Plan, which is, as you know, an effort to try to save the ecological status of the sea. We're seeing that money being moved very slowly. But we can't push with a rope. We can't tell people you must take a loan now and carry out the project. We are depending on demand. And we haven't seen so much demand as we would have liked to see. We have fortunately seen a lot of demand on the climate change side, because we also established a facility to finance climate change related investment. We started with 1 billion euros, we increased it to 2 billion when that had been fully utilized, and this year we increased it to 3 billion euros because we had already allocated more than 2 billion for such projects. That is, of course, something which is encouraging. And I'd conclude by saying that as a call to everyone who is then planning to be active, what any financier need, whether it's a bank or a risk capital investor, you need a good story. You need someone who is able to tell why is this particular project or investment something which is really going to last, which is going to work, which is going to give a solution that actually is able to repay the money over time. And for that reason, one has to make the preparatory groundwork. You need to show that you have projects which are economically, financially, technically, institutionally, and environmentally viable. And this is another bottleneck, because we're often seeing a problem that ideas are there, but it also takes skill and effort to turn them into bankable or financiable projects. A last slide, since I have the floor, is, of course, the mandatory propaganda. I'm just going to mention the fact that for those of you who don't know the Nordic Investment Bank, which is your bank, since Estonia and the other Baltic countries and the Nordic countries are the owners of this bank, we are a public service institution providing long-term funding, annually disbursing in about 2 billion euros for long-term investments in the region, and with nearly all of that money going to the member countries. So we are trying to play a constructive role, and for us the green growth agenda is something which we pay a lot of attention to, but we are also struggling with these same issues that I try to highlight. Thank you very much for the opportunity to address the meeting.
Thanks. One quick question. There is one quick question.
It's not a question. I just hope that you are staying the day, because I think I'm the very, very last speaker, and I'm sort of getting afraid that everyone's rushing away from the seminar, because I do have an answer to your worries. I do agree that there is not one single silver bullet, but I really do have a good idea of how you can awaken many, many, many investors, you and me and you and me and you and me, everyone, because you can half your power bill and double your climate gain. I'll show you that this afternoon.
A good marketing. You will have your time. Thanks.
A good sales pitch.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot.